All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. Last time we were here, we were talking about counseling people. Down there in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And talking about how to counsel, how to minister, and you do it through the ability which God giveth. And we're going to start here in verse 12. We're going to read all the way down to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to put all this together and just kind of sum up the first four chapters here. In verse 12, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And as he's summing up chapter 4 right here and he's getting back in it, it's obvious once again that the theme that he's been hitting, and he's hit it throughout the first four chapters, is this, is he wants you to live righteously and he wants you to expect to suffer. And with that suffering, there's some rewards that you're going to gain. And I'm going to go back through here. I want to show you just in let you remember this. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. He don't even get started in the book before he, in the letter there, as he begins to talk about the trials that you're going to go through. In verse 7, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So in verse 7 you see the suffering there is the suffering through these manifold temptations. And we talked about what a manifold is. And obviously there's another way to look at it. In the Bible it talks about twofold. And it'll talk about, you know, you've heard people say threefold. Well, right here this is manyfold. That means a lot. That means you're going to go through a lot of problems. And he said manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the result of the suffering there in verse 7 is, the result is that you're going to have it good at the judgment seat of Christ. And these temptations you go through, hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians. Get 1 Corinthians chapter 10. These temptations that you go through in life are created by us. The Bible says that the light of the body is the eye. And we put ourselves in positions to put ourselves through temptations. And messes us up a lot, our own temptations. But the good thing is that God said there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Look what he says. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. The Bible says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And when you're going through temptations and you're going through trials, you need to remember that verse right there. Don't just memorize that verse just so you can quote it back to somebody. But when you're going through trials and you're going through temptations and you're having problems, you need to sit down and you need to talk to God. And I'm not talking about any vain, repetitious prayers. I'm talking about when you're having those temptations and you want to gripe and complain and you're wanting to get mad at your spouse, your husband or your wife, and those things are going on, and you feel that pressure there, and you know what I'm talking about. When you feel like there's something that's inside you pushing you to run your mouth to your spouse, it just seems like there's nothing in this world that can keep you from saying what you just feel like that you've got to say. And at those times right there, you need to talk to God. And you say, now, God, you said that there's a way to escape. And I need it right now because I know, God, I can feel it right here. And I just feel like I've got to say what I've got to say. I know they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to believe what I'm telling them. They're not going to understand what I'm saying. But God, I will just feel better if I can tell this person off. And you say, okay, God, listen, here I am. You said there's a way to escape. Now, where's the trap door at, God? Surely to goodness, there's somewhere here. And when you're going through those temptations, you've got to learn these verses. And the reason you learn these verses is so you can keep from running your mouth, and so you can keep from making mistakes and saying something that that your spouse is going to remember for the rest of their life. There's some things that we say that we shouldn't be saying, and there's some things that we get mad and think that they're appropriate to say at that point, but after we've calmed down and we're out of the flesh, we look back, and you know what we do? We say, man, wish I hadn't said that. I wish I'd just been able to just keep my mouth shut and just let this pass over. And it's times like that, that these temptations and that's going on, that you can win them. If you'll remember verses like verse 13. Look what he says again. The Apostle Paul, this is what he's saying. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you're not the only one who goes through this. I mean, this is a temptation. It's common to man everywhere. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we, yet without sin. And so there's nothing that you're going to face that nobody else has ever faced. But God is faithful. Now you see that right there? God's faithful. And God is faithful. The Bible says in Titus 1:2 that God cannot lie. God's faithful. He cannot lie. And if you'll take God at His word and you'll sit down and memorize these verses, they're going to help you. He says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And he said he's not going to take the temptation away. You're going to be able to bear these temptations. You're going to be able to go through them, and you're going to be able to react the right way. Now go back to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter. What he says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So in chapter 1, he tells you you're going to suffer some, going to go through some sufferings. In verse 7, he tells you the result of doing it the right way is the judgment seat of Christ. At the end of that chapter, he says that you might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to be holy. In verse 7, he tells you you're going to go through some suffering. In verse 7, he tells you the result's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. So in chapter 1, you've got those three things. Suffering, you've got a reward, and God wants you to live a holy life. Now look at chapter 2. Look at verse 1 and verse 11. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. Look in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You know what he's saying? He just says, I don't want you to live after the flesh. Don't live after the flesh. Chapter 1, he tells you, don't live after the flesh. Chapter 2, he tells you, don't live after the flesh. Abstain from the flesh. Abstain from the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In chapter 2, he tells you you're going to suffer. In chapter 1, he tells you you're going to suffer. In chapter 2, he tells you you're going to suffer. In chapter 1, he tells you to abstain from fleshly lust. In chapter 2, abstain from fleshly lust. In chapter 2 right there, the result is this. The result is it's thankworthy. It's worthy of thanks if you do this. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, what he's saying is this right here. He's saying, you know, you're going to suffer some wrong because out of your own stupidity. He says, and somebody gets on to you for that, then you need to take it. But I mean, what's the big deal? You ought to take it if you've done something wrong. He says, but this right here is what's worthy of thanks. When you do something right and you still get it in the neck, you're suffering, and you're suffering, and you're right. Just take it, and you take it patiently. He says, this right here is worthy of thanks. And we've all been there. I'm sure there's some times where we've suffered, and we suffered because we've done something wrong, and we thought we were right. And we never did realize we was wrong in that situation. But there's some times when you've suffered, and you knew you were right, and you were getting it in the neck, and you knew you were right, and God knew you were right. And God says this, take it. You need to take it. And what's the result? The result is it's worthy of thanks. And why should you do this? Why should you act this way? Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were you called. God's called you to act that way. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Look what He goes on to say. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. And that's our example right there. What our example is Jesus Christ is our example to just take it. When you're doing right and you've not sinned and you've not done anything wrong and somebody's treated you wrong, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to take it. Somebody comes up to you and somebody tells you, let me just tell you what so-and-so did to me. And they say, I can't believe this. I was doing this, I was doing this, I was doing this, and they done me wrong. And you sit there and you look at the situation and you think, boy, they did do you wrong. You know what you need to tell them? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't always do it this way, buddy, but let me tell you what the Bible says. Yeah. Give them the right counsel. Amen. You know, you're going to help them. If they look at you and say, you don't handle it that way, say, I know, I don't handle it that way. But listen, I'm not the example. I'm not the standard. I'm just telling you this is what the Bible says. I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't handle it this way. But I'm going to give you some good counsel. This right here is what the Word of God says. This is how you're supposed to react in that situation. And that goes back to where it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You don't have to feel bad because you don't do something a certain way or you don't live righteously a certain way when you're giving counsel to somebody. When you speak, you're supposed to speak as the oracles of God. And you need to give somebody some good counsel. Just because you're messing up in a situation, don't give them the green light to do the same thing because you could do bad. Tell them what's right. And then tell them, say, look, you do what you want to do, but I know this much. This is what the Bible says. And with as much charity as you can give and as much love as you can give it, give the right counsel. Now, in chapter 2, he tells you you're going to suffer and you need to suffer. And he says the result is you're going to be it's going to be worthy of thanks. And the reason is that we're supposed to do it is Christ is the example. And he also says don't live after the flesh. Well, in chapter 3, let's look at it. He tells you once again in chapter 3 also, don't live after the flesh. Look at verse 11. 1 Peter 3:11. He says, let him eschew evil. That means to turn from it and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. All right? That right there tells you something. You get out there and you live unrighteously, and you're doing wrong. Look what it says right there. It says that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You can't control what you're talking. You can't control talking about people. You can't control confrontations. You can't control your flesh. You can't control all these things. You know what the Bible says? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And you see it, and you see it. We see it in our lives. We see we're constantly... You ever just been around somebody that just seems like they're constantly... just into it with somebody? I mean, they're never happy. I mean, you go up to them and you say, hey, how's your day going? I'm going to tell you what so-and-so said. Well, they said this right here, I said that. And then I said this, and they said that, and I just can't believe this. And I can't believe the way they're doing on this over here. And they've always got something going on. And it seems like they're always frustrated. They always feel like the Lord's against them. And you know why? Because He is. And these are the verses in the Bible here where we don't like to think about them. We don't like to think about a lot of our problems that we have in our life may be a result of the way we live and the way we act.
And we may act a certain way out here at a grocery store, and stuff just not work out the right way because God's against us. We may be going down the highway and we're not reacting the way we're supposed to react as a Christian, and God's face, the face of the Lord's against you. You may be at work and have confrontations going on at work. And why? Because we're not acting as a Christian. You say, like what? Like when you do right, and you get it in the neck, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take it. And when we don't take it, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And we get into so much problems because we just can't take it. And that the Bible says to take it patiently. And we look at that thing and we think, boy, I tell you, I know God wants us to just take this, but man, this is just bad. I mean, just look what they've done to me. And the example is Jesus Christ. I mean, they've not nailed you up to a cross out there, have they? They may want to, but they ain't done it yet. They wouldn't get away with it. They ain't plucked your beard out. They ain't just sat up there and made fun of you. They ain't tore your clothes off and put you up on a cross naked in front of the world and then gambled over your clothes down under there and then make fun of you saying, if you're the Son of God, come down. You think God really understands when somebody, you know, does something to you, talks about you, and you sit there and look at God and you say, God, but you just don't understand. Yeah, He does. Yeah, they talked about Him, and they made fun of Him, and they plucked His beard out, and they put a crown of thorns on Him, and they nailed Him to a cross. I mean, come on, folks. Does God understand? Sure He understands. He understands this much. If He can take it, so can we. We can take it. You say, brother, I just don't know if I can. I don't know if I can either. But I know according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, I can take it. And there's an escape. There's an escape door. And a lot of times the escape door is, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And if you know you got a problem, let's say you got a problem with a certain person, stay away from them. If there is somebody that just gets under your skin, and it don't matter what they say, it's just going to rile you, just stay away from them. But you know what it is? We can't stay away from them. We've heard they've said something or they've said this, and we have just got to get around and just try to find out if they really said it. Why? So we can tell them the way things really are. And that's just in us. And God says, just leave that stuff alone. Just leave it alone. And so in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, He says, don't live after the flesh. Look down in verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. He says, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So in chapter 17, He says, suffer for doing right. What's the result? Look at verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. You're happy. You take somebody that learns how to just take it, and they make it through that pressure of wanting to say something, and you get past it, and you don't get in the middle of that thing, you know what happens? You become happy. You say, now how does that work? Here's how it works. Somebody says something to you. All right? Here's your reaction. You've got the option right now. I can say something back. How many times have you ever been into it with somebody where you've said something back to them in an argument and they said, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Has that ever happened? It's never happened. They never see it like we see it. I've never looked at somebody in an argument and said, No. Blah, 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 blah. And then say, you're so much smarter than I am. I didn't see it. Thank you so much for showing me. They've never said that to you. What they do is they show their side of it. And what do you do at that point? You don't say, oh, well, you're right. You say, no. And then what happens? It goes like this.
Yes, sir. That's it.
It's like this. But somebody comes up and runs their mouth to you and says something, or you're in the middle at work and somebody runs their mouth and it gets under your goat and you just say, hi, Lord, this one's for you. I'm just taking it. And you turn around, you walk off, and you think about the Lord and you think, God, use up on that cross. The least I can do is this time. And you really drop it. I'm going to tell you something. You start whistling. You start stepping different. You start acting better. And you walk down through there and you don't go to somebody else and say, let me tell you what that jerk said up through there. Or let me tell you what so-and-so said. Let me tell you how this thing. You don't do that. You know what you do sometimes? You say, hey, man, let me tell you what I did. This is the first time I've ever done it in my life. And it was great. What happened? Oh, man, they said this, and they said this, and they said this, and I let it go. I said, you let it go? You let that go? Yeah. Man, I tell you, it's refreshing. The Bible says if you just take it, he says you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. That's the result. You say, I just don't know about that, brother. That's because you ain't never tried it. That's because you ain't never tried. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says God's faithful and that he cannot lie. And the Bible says that if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. You call God a liar? Are you? You believe it happened? I believe it would. I believe it would happen. I believe that if you get in the middle of something and you've got an opportunity to suffer for Jesus Christ and you take it, that you're going to be happy. I know. I've been on the street before, and I've not taken it. There's been times, there's been a probably once or twice that I've not taken it. Maybe once or twice I have taken it. You just always feel like you got to say something, you know, something. Fools like a moccasin. You got to at least feel better just saying something. But there's been some times, a few times, that I've been preaching, and boy, somebody just giving it to me and not say nothing. Nothing. Just look at them. And there's been times I've just looked at them and I said, I'm sorry that I offended you, but you know, it's something I got to do. I said, I hope you can understand. And I've walked off. And man, that is a whole lot better than smarting off to them or getting the police called because I'm in the middle of a big mess or getting mad at the police and argue with the police. You, Brother Jack? Oh, well, maybe a couple of times. There was a time I was arguing with the police and started to go call 911 on the police. Luckily, I didn't make it down there, but I got stopped. But it seemed like a good idea at the time. I thought, I'll call the police on the police. What a moron. It's the word moron in the Bible. It ought to be. That's my Bible. That's my life verse. Moron. Maybe it's in the book of... Never mind. Anyway, he says you're going to be happy if you just do things the right way. Now look down in chapter 3. Look at verse 18. And the reason why again? Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So once again, the example for doing right is Jesus Christ. Folks, you're not going to get around this. He's hit it in chapter 1. He's hit it in chapter 2. He's hit it in chapter 3. A verse in chapter 1 for not living after the flesh. In chapter 2, not living after the flesh. In chapter 3, not living after the flesh. There's a verse in chapter 1 about you're going to suffer and you need to suffer. Chapter 2 about suffering. Chapter 3 about suffering. Chapter 2 about Christ is the example. Chapter 3, Christ is the example. The results in chapter 1, if you do right, is the judgment seat of Christ. Chapter 2 is the worthy of thanks. Chapter 3 is happiness. And God's giving you this stuff. Peter's giving you this stuff. And it's funny coming from Peter when you sit here and think about this. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's a fisherman. Now, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know how fishermen were. I mean, I've heard stories about how these commercial fishermen are today, and I'm sure there wasn't a whole lot of difference back then. And I know how people act in a manufacturing plant. I know the conversations people have. I see people, man, they're ready to fight at the drop of a dime. And old Peter here, I mean, I'd say old Peter was a fighter. Now, I don't know that for sure, and I know I'm reading that into that, but I know this, when they came to get the Lord and he pulled that sword out, it wasn't the first time he ever used a sword. He knew what he was doing with a sword. And I'd say that old boy right there probably had some scars. He probably had some war stories. He probably had some stories about when he used to fight. And I'd say he was a fighter. And when they come to get the Lord there, he was ready to fight. He's ready to die. He was ready. I mean, it wasn't nothing to him. And that's when you work in these manufacturing plants. I mean, people, they're willing to lose their job. I mean, in the drop of a hat, they're willing to get in a fight and lose their source of income for taking care of their family like that. And I'm sure these fishermen here, I mean, at the drop of a hat, they'd be ready to go down, throw down. And you look at Peter here, I mean, here he is at the end of his life, and he's writing this letter here, and he's talking about what you got to do is you got to suffer. And you just, when somebody says something to you, just take it. And why? I'll tell you why. Because he's got his mind right. He's looking at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And this guy right here, and it's not just that. I mean, he's done this. Look over in Acts chapter 4. Get Acts chapter 4.
See, Peter, what happens when you mess up? Messing up will humble somebody. And Peter is one of these guys that was excited about doing right and was going to do right. And he messed up. And he didn't quit. He didn't know hardly how to handle it when he did mess up. And the Lord had to come back and give him a personal invitation to get back in the fight. But he wanted to get back in the fight. And it's not because he was, you know, thought, well, the only way I'm ever going to get back in this thing is if the Lord comes and asks me personally. That ain't wasn't his attitude. His attitude was, I don't even know if God wants me. I mean, I've messed up. He had a humble attitude. And God did want him back in the fight. And he got back in the fight. And when he got back in the fight, though, he had a whole different attitude. And once he gets back in, the Lord told him, he said, you need to feed your sheep. And in the next chapter there, he passes that along to us, talking about feeding the sheep. But here in Acts chapter 4, he's decided this much now. He's into suffering. He wasn't into suffering before that. I mean, remember? He was into cutting somebody's ear off if they was coming after him. He was going to fight to the death. And now it's just taking it. In Acts chapter 4, look at verse 3. It says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So they put them in that hold there. Look at verse 13. He says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now look in verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And what he's saying right there is, I'm not going to fight you. You do what you want to do. You know, you judge however you want to judge it, but I can tell you this much. I'm just going to do right. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do the things the way they need to be done. Now look over in Acts chapter 5. They go back out. They have another big bunch of people getting saved. And they're fired up again. They're excited. They put them back in jail again. And then down here, look in verse, they're trying to figure out what to do with them. Look in Acts 5, verse 40. He says, and to them they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, you see, that's a man right there that's changed. He got humbled and he changed. And it's somebody that is doing what he's preaching. And, you know, there's times as a preacher, you may not have it down. People may know you don't have it down, but you still got to preach the Word of God. But this is one of those places where Peter has it down. He's sitting here telling you to suffer. He's saying you need to suffer. And when you suffer for Jesus Christ, you need to rejoice. Now, that's hard words. But coming from somebody like Peter, it's okay to take. I mean, it's like, you know, you start trying to lose weight and people that's never lost weight in their life start telling you how to do it and you're just looking at them like, you know, I know I can't do it, but I know the way you need to do it, you know. People that's ever lost weight, you're going to listen to what they got to say. They've done it, man. You've seen them lose it. You've seen them drop the weight. You want some ideas. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go to somebody that has performed it and somebody that's got some experience with something. And you can listen to somebody like that. You can take it when they talk to you and tell you how you're supposed to live your life and what you're supposed to eat and what you ain't supposed to eat. You can take something like that. When somebody's trying to sell something, they're like that. We got a book in the mail yesterday, and it's funny at Christmas time. Everybody starts gaining weight and they start trying to sell you exercise machines. They had this exercise machine in this magazine, and me and Beth and Sarah and all of a sudden look at this magazine. They're selling this exercise equipment, and you got, you know, this man and woman standing here, you know, they're all like this right here, and this thing. I said, look, Sarah. I said, we can look like that man and that woman right there for only $13.99 a month. I said, man, that's great, ain't it? You know, that's the type of person they're going to put up there. Why? Because you're going to look at that thing and think, well, now this guy knows what he's talking about. This girl knows what she's talking about.
And it's with Peter right here. It's the same way. Peter's sitting here, and he's telling you, you need to suffer. You need to take it. When somebody talks about you, you just need to take it. And you know what he can say? I've done it. I've been there. And he said this, I didn't quit. It says, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now go back to 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter. Now, you know, I've talked a lot about this stuff about temptations and these things, but when you suffer for that, you know, that's your own fault. And that's not the suffering he's talking about. The suffering that he's talking about in all this chapter here is when you do right, and I'm not talking about doing right, you know, you're paying your bills and stuff like that. I'm talking about being a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what Peter was doing. And he's talking about suffering reproach because of the name of Jesus Christ. And over in 1 Peter chapter 4, quickly, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. So there he's telling you again in chapter 4, don't live in the flesh. And look at chapter 12, 13, and 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ. See, that's what they told Peter over there. Don't preach any more in the name of Christ. And he says, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. If you're out there and you're talking about somebody, and somebody gives it to you in the neck, you're not suffering as a Christian. That's not suffering as a Christian. If you're doing something wrong and you're getting in the neck, you're not suffering as a Christian. You may be a Christian, you may be suffering, but you're not suffering because you're a Christian. Right. Now, the way you can suffer as a Christian is, let's take liquor by the drink. Liquor by the drink. You know, our church gets mentioned. You know, they said it was our church that's stopping all this stuff. And this time they found out. It wasn't just our church. It was all these churches. But I can tell you this much. These churches that put these things on the signs, these people that went out and talked about we don't want liquor by the drink, you got on the internet and you defended the Word of God, or you got in the middle of a conversation at work and you defended the Word of God, you know what those people did? They talked about you. And they made fun of you. And they probably said, well, who do you think you are? You're blah, 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 blah. That right there is suffering as a Christian. And you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to suffer that way. And what this world is going to try to get you to do is they're going to try to get you to quit suffering that way. And you say, how are they going to do it? Number one, they'll try to make fun of you. And if that don't work, they're going to start trying to make you feel bad for being a Christian. They're going to say things like, well, you need more charity. They'll say, well, a Christian wouldn't act the way you're acting. Oh, a Christian wouldn't do. And a Christian, like they know. Like they know. I mean, they don't even know what about liquor by the drink. They don't. How can they know what a Christian acts like? They have no idea. And they start throwing those words out there. And if you're not careful, folks, you know what you do? You start lending credence to that. You start saying, well, you know, we are kind of rough. Because we're saying the Word of God. We're telling them they're wrong. We're not wrong over that right there. And what happens is we start trying to feel sorry for them. We start saying, well, you know what? You know, we are kind of rough around the edges. No, we're not. We're nowhere near what they were back here, folks. Well, you can take the roughest person that you know of as a Christian, and these guys right here would think he's a compromiser. These people right here, man, they had the stuff. It says over there in Acts, it says that they were bold. They were bold. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. If you're in the middle of trying to lead somebody to the Lord, all right, Acts chapter 13. Let's say you're in the middle of trying to lead somebody to the Lord. And you get somebody that's lost. And they come up and they start trying to mess up your witness. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to act? I mean, do you cause a dispute? Do you cause a fight? Do you cause an argument? Do you tell them to shut up and get off and leave you alone? Would you just look at somebody and say, hey, stupid, Shut up and get away from here. I'm trying to lead this guy to the Lord. Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Would you call the police on the police? What would you do if you're witnessing to somebody and somebody gets in the middle of it? Well, let me just show you how the Apostle Paul acted. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. So this Sergius Paulus is wanting to hear the word of God. Look at verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You say, how do you call him demon-possessed? You say, you child of the devil, get away from here. I'm trying to witness to somebody. See, you find somebody that's as rough as a cob that you can find today, and they wouldn't act that way. There's too much pressure on them. There's too much pressure. In America today, you wouldn't act like that right there. I'm sure there's some people that would. But you ain't going to find nobody. There's nobody in this church that I know of in this church that would ever act that way. I've been on visitation with every man in this church probably that has went on visitation when I've been on going through that time. And, buddy, you go to somebody else's house and you're dealing with somebody and somebody else in that household gets in the middle of that, they don't act that way. You get out on the street, I mean, I've seen them. They're gentlemen. They're on the street. They're gentlemen. The only people I've really seen get... Probably me. I'm pretty bad getting in the flesh. I was young. I needed the money. You know, I didn't mean to. It's just the way it was. But I'm telling you, we don't act nowhere near as bad as what these people did. These people right here, they were rough. And we sit here and we let these people tell us how a Christian is supposed to act. And then we say things like, well, you know, I just heard, you know, and, you know, I've heard that people just don't like this church because of this or because of that and because of this. Well, good. Yeah. Stay away. Right. No, really. Really. Amen. If people, I mean, that's the reason you have a church. That's the reason you have beliefs. That's the reason you have a church constitution. It's because you want everybody to adhere to the constitution. You want to be together. Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We don't want somebody in here that's for homosexuality, folks. We don't want them in here. Stay away. Stay away. We want them to leave. If they're going to come in here and they're going to condone homosexuality and they're going to say, well, you're being too rough on homosexuality. We're not as rough as God. God said they ought to be put to death. He said, God said, hey, you got somebody like that? Kill them. We don't say that out loud. I am on the radio, ain't I? Just kidding. But the point I'm trying to make is this right here. You cannot be reproached for the name of Christ if you're not out there doing something, folks. If you're not out there living for Jesus Christ and standing against the world, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be a compromiser. Now, there's two people right here. One is suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. And one is suffering because they're a moron. But there's another person here that's not mentioned. And that's the person who don't want to suffer. You have got people in this world who ain't going to talk about people. They're not going to get in other people's business. They're not going to rock the boat. They're going to pay their bills. They're not going to get in any kind of trouble and suffer as an evildoer. But they're also not going to suffer as a Christian. You know why? They just don't want to suffer. They do not want to suffer. And any excuse they can come up with for not having to get out there and suffer as Jesus Christ suffered, they'll use it. And if you want to use the excuse of, well, I just don't want to turn people away, or, well, they're lost, I'd have to treat them. You know, Brother Dilbert says, they don't get no more lost. Lost is lost. They're either lost or saved. They don't get no farther away from the Lord. I mean, they're lost. And the only thing that's going to help them is the light of the glorious gospel. That's the only thing that's going to help them. And you need to have power, and you need to have boldness,
and you need to have the Word of God in you, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you are, you need to be ready to suffer reproach for the name of Christ. When you get out there on the street and you begin to preach, when I'm up here in Oneida preaching, I'll be honest with you, 98% of the people that go by, I'd say, Brother Gary, wouldn't you say 99% of the people that go by when I'm preaching up here in Oneida are doing this right here, waving at you, waving at your kids, doing this right here, doing this right here. And there's a few that go by, but they don't even do nothing to you. I mean, what they do is they talk about you behind your back. They're not going to say, did you see so-and-so up there? They look like a fool. They may say something like that. But they're not going to do nothing to you out there on the street. Now, when you get away from here, you go to the old city, they're not happy to see you. So what do? Not go? Well, you just don't want to get down there and cause a stir. Why? Why don't you want to cause a stir? I ain't talking about getting down there and calling all the women down there a bunch of whores. I mean, that's not what we're out there doing. We're not looking at women, and we're not looking at how they're dressed, and we're not going all that stuff and calling them names or telling them all those things right there. That's not what we're doing. We're preaching the gospel. Now, why shouldn't we want to get out there and stir it up? Why shouldn't we? You know what they said about these men here in the book of Acts? They said they turned the city upside down. If we're not turning the city upside down, what are we doing? We're compromising. Peter said this. He said, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be suffering as a Christian. And when in the context of saying that right there, he's talking about being reproached for the name of Christ. You know what? There's some of us, we could witness, and people look at us and say, you're a Christian? I mean, I knew you was a good guy and everything, but you go to church? You know, you can suffer reproach by just putting a bumper sticker on your car. And you know, there are some people that have so much pride, nobody's going to tell me. I don't have to, just because I do this, don't mean I got to put a bumper sticker on my car. Nobody's telling you got to put a bumper sticker on your car. I mean, you don't have to do that. I don't think it's in the Bible, thou shalt put a bumper sticker on your car. I ain't saying that. What I'm saying is this right here. As Peter said, you need to suffer as a Christian. And any way that you can get the Word of God out, any way you can get out there and do something to stir some people up and get something going in a good way as a Christian, preaching this stuff right here, getting it going, then you're doing a good job. Amen. You need to get it stirred up. You need to turn a city upside down. People need to look at you and think, man, look at this ignorant and unlearned man. He's had to be with Jesus. Where's he getting this stuff at? They need to see us that way. They need to see us as a Christian. You know what they need to see us do? They need to see us love people. They need to see us have charity. They need to see us those things. But if that's what we're doing because we don't want to get it in the neck for doing right, then I'm just telling you, you're not suffering. You know what a lot of you are allowed to do? You're allowed to put a Bible. Take a Bible to work with you. You can take a Bible to work with you. And nobody will say nothing to you. You can get reproached in the name of Christ just having a Bible in my office. I got a Bible on my desk. You know, there's somebody that works for me that I found out later on, they said, he's out there, he wasn't working, wasn't showing up for work. I was having to get on to him. He said, that Jack Butch is supposed to be a Christian. As if I wasn't a Christian, I'd let him get by with that stuff. But just the fact of having a Bible on my desk, you know what it does? It puts my neck on the line. I better act like a Christian. Better act like a Christian. And there's things you can do. You can put a bumper sticker on your car or not. I don't care. I'm just giving you examples. Put a bumper sticker on your car. Take a Bible with you. Sit in the doctor's office and read your Bible. You want to look like a weirdo? Sit in the doctor's office and read your Bible. You look like, go to Knoxville and do it. Walk in and have your kids. Walk into Knoxville. You want to walk into Knoxville at the Knoxville Orthopedics place. Sit down with your kids. And before, when your name gets called to go in there, get down on the floor and pray. And say, God bless this doctor I'm getting ready to go see. I'm getting ready, you know, God, they're getting ready to deal with my kid right here. And I know they know what they're doing. And God, you've blessed them. They've learned and they've got a lot of experience. But God, I just want you to,
Make sure he ain't on drugs today. You know, make sure he's got it going on today, God. Make sure he's excited. And watch what people do. They think you're nuts. They think you're a bunch of weirdos. And they may even turn their head and make you feel awful. And no matter what happens, you still ain't went through what Jesus Christ has went through. And he is still the example. And folks, when we these days, we're going to stand before God. And he's going to look at us. And he's going to say, you couldn't just take it? You got mad because they said you was bald-headed? Jack! Oh, Lord! Look what that prophet did in the Old Testament. He killed some kids over it. Come on. Give me a little break here. He ain't going to have no break for us. You know what he wants? He wants you to live as a Christian. He wants you to suffer as a Christian. He wants people to know you are a Christian. He wants them to know you're a Christian. All right, let's take a break.